This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Phenomenal performance last night. Amazing performance. Off the charts. Such a hater.
I want to know if Legs ever had somebody that he played against that had a punchable face like Chris Paul.
Well, now we're going to find out, because on Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, we go to the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today, along with Bart Scott, to welcome in ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler. Let's start there, Tim. You ever play against anybody that had a more punchable face than Chris Paul?
Man, you always run into dudes with punchable faces. But I got a question for you guys. Do you honestly think that Chris Paul's face is more punchable than Patrick Beverley?
No, I think there's equal. I think they're looking in the mirror. I was hoping that Patrick Beverley, because I can only imagine the gnat that Beverley is. But it was going back and forth with Chris Paul, you know, with the acting job that he was doing yesterday, man, with the Fosbury flop that he did after Boogie Cousins went across his ear, man. I was hoping that he was going to kick him in the back like Bad News Brown.
Listen. To that point, you're right. Listen, you're right. It's an annoying part of his game. But I will say this. The league rewards it. The league rewards it. And so guys are going to keep doing it. They tried to address it a number of years ago, coming up with this anti-flopping rule.
The
guys were going to get suspensions and everything else. And they just literally ignored it ever since they instituted the rule. So as long as you get rewarded for it, it's guys now that's become part of the gamesmanship of trying to help your team. And in that situation, it actually did help their team. But, you know, there are things that Patrick Beverley has done and did in this series that just completely crossed the line. Like, I thought the play he committed on Chris Paul in that three-point attempt the game before, when he came underneath his legs, was one of the most dangerous plays I've seen on a shooter. That wasn't playing hard. That wasn't competing. That was a dirty play, and Chris Paul damn near broke his wrist catching himself on the landing. And then obviously what he did last night, going up two guys, shoving him in the back, because he's offended because Chris Paul said something to him. And Patrick Beverley doesn't stop talking from the time he wakes up till the time he goes to bed. And somebody starts tuning him up, and he can't listen to any trash talk. Yeah. So he decides to go over and shove a dude in the back that's walking to the bench. It's just classless. There's no other word for it to me. So, yeah, I know there's annoying things about Chris Paul's game, but it doesn't compare to some of the stuff I see out of Patrick Beverley.
Everybody has a Hines Ward type of player on their team. But do you think that Chris Paul hurt? He revealed that he had a broken bone in his hand yesterday. Do we think maybe that happened on that fall where he had to catch himself from Beverley?
Yeah, it definitely did. If you look, he grabbed it himself right away there. And even just watching the replay a few times, his left arm was so awkwardly behind him. And look, people can say he tried to sell that one too if you want to, but the bottom line is he did fall from a horizontal position from a really high area off the floor and landed hard on his back with his wrist behind him. That easily could have been something that completely changed the rest of Chris Paul's postseason and would have been one more thing to add to the list of things that you always put a butt on the end of the sentence when you talk about Chris Paul, great point guard, but one of the best point guards to ever play, but one of the best players of his generation, but. And then what comes after that? Injured when his team needed the most, because that's happened a couple of times. Yeah. Or but was part of very underachieving teams, the Clippers, the best teams he played on that could never break through and even get to a conference final. There was always a but. And this would have been another one if he hurts himself to that extent. As it turns out, thank goodness he was able to play. And now I think getting this team to the finals, I think that helps eliminate some of that butt when you talk about Chris Paul. Because for me, the last 2 years have taken his overall view and his profile as a player in this league and what he's done historically. I think it's actually cemented it now as one of the all-time great point guards, because neither one of these two teams, and I'm including Oklahoma City in that, had any right to be as good as they were, and Chris Paul clearly showed you the impact that he can have.
All right, let's dig a little deeper into that. It's Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, joining Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tim, in essence, what you're saying, if I'm hearing it correctly, is Chris Paul doesn't need a championship at this point to cement his legacy. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily he has to get one. I mean, is that the standard by which we hold Steve Nash? He didn't win a championship. And he won, you know, I know he won two MVPs, but he never won a championship either. He couldn't break through. He didn't even get to the finals. So I think, you know, at some point you have to look at relative to what they're accomplishing and when. Here's one of the things that's amazing to me about Chris Paul. This is something I just thought of today. Going back to when he was about 24 through 26, He and Deron Williams, that was the debate at the time, best point guard in the NBA. Those were the two guys, and it was a great debate while Deron Williams was playing at his best in Utah. Think about this. Okay, so that was going on at that time a decade ago. Deron Williams retired 4 years ago. Chris Paul is playing the most meaningful and important basketball of his life this deep into his career and has had this kind of an impact on two teams with younger guys around him that he completely uplifted. Now, look, there are something. Chris Paul is not the most beloved guy in the league. Okay, there are a lot of guys that don't like Chris Paul. The one thing he does have is universal respect because he is a leader and he is a guy that knows how to elevate people around him. And there's no doubt this is the best thing that ever happened to Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton was getting Chris Paul to join this team. So I think just getting to the finals is enough for Chris Paul now, I think, to answer that bell, man. I could get a team there, and he led them there. I mean, let's be honest. He led them there. Booker's their best player. Chris Paul led them there, particularly what he did last night. So, yeah, they're there. Now, the landscape has changed in the league this year. No, that's decimated by injuries. They're gone. No Lakers with LeBron and AD. They're not there. Denver loses Jamal Murray. I think they would have been the favorite if he stays healthy. They're not there. Philadelphia, number one seed, taken out. Bucks banged up. So, look, the landscape's different. So if you want to now say, listen, at this point, they need to get this thing done. All right, that's a debate. We can discuss that because it looks like it's laying out for them to win a championship as well as getting to the finals.
I tell you what, right, if Devin Booker and Aiden want to continue to have that great leadership around them, they better put some more cheese on the taco because he turned down $44 million. I know the Lakers are going to want to get that deal done if you listen to Magic. But, you know, to your point, how much pressure now is on Chris Paul because he should be the favorite no matter who he goes against, a injured, compromised, Giannis-led Bucks or a young, not ready for the big dance and the veteran leadership in the Trae Young-led Hawks. So now does he go from being like the sympathetic figure to being like the favorite and the guy that's expected to will his team? And what happens to his legacy if he falls short to a team like the Bucks or a team like Trae Young? That would be crazy.
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's going to be a fair criticism, but here's the only thing I'll say about that. Look, we don't know about Giannis yet. I mean, it's a miracle to me that that was not some sort of ligament damage. But he got a lot of swelling. I don't know if we're going to see him close to full strength in this series, certainly, because maybe two or three more games. But even in the finals, he could be affected by that. So if he's out there and he's 75% and he's hobbled and he's not the same guy, yeah, Phoenix Suns definitely should be everybody's favorite. They're going to be mine no matter what. If Giannis Antetokounmpo comes back at some point in this series and looks 100% or is 100% for the NBA Finals, I still think the Suns are going to win the championship. But I think I'm going to be in the minority. I don't think the general consensus is going to be the Phoenix Suns are the favorite. I don't think that's what Vegas is going to say. I don't think that's what most analysts are going to say because they're going to say, you know what, look at this other team. They got a two-time MVP. They got an elite-level scorer in Chris Middleton, and they got another all-star in Jrue Holiday. Like, that's the team now that should win it if Giannis comes back 100%. So I think that's what most people are going to think. I personally think the Phoenix Suns are going to win a championship, and there's going to be pressure on Chris Paul to deliver that.
Your calls in 4 minutes on Chris Paul's legacy, and if it's intact now, even without a title, at 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us right now via the Goodyear Hotline. One more on this series that just wrapped up. Would the Suns have won this series if Kawhi played?
Probably not. I mean, if we're being honest about it, Paul George said it. And I mean, let's be honest. You have to look at the reality of the situation. Phoenix Suns are a really good team. They've been clearly the most consistent team in the postseason because, number one, they've been, for the most part, healthy, other than Chris Paul missing a couple games in this series. For the most part, they've had a clean run. They've been the best team on both ends of the floor. They can win either way. They can win by making shots. They can win by stopping you. They've got great chemistry. They check every box of what they have. But the truth of the matter is Kawhi Leonard is such a difference maker because the guy is always at his own pace. He's always on balance, and he has shown you repeatedly he plays his best basketball when the lights get turned up the brightest. Now, a year ago, Paul George let him down. Paul George did not show up in that series with Denver. It's certainly game 7. I think he was 4-for-18 from the field. He let him down. Now, Paul George was in a better place this year. There's no question about it. We have to be fair about it. He had some moments, and he didn't play great last night. But for the most part, Paul George answered the bell in the postseason. So if Kawhi Leonard's out there and Paul George is in the place he was operating in, and again, taking all of those teams into consideration that were not there or not right, then the Los Angeles Clippers probably would have won a championship this year. That's just the truth. But again, it's the Clippers. It's always something, and this is what it was this time. Someone asked me this morning, what would it take for the Clippers? What's the missing piece? I said luck. Yeah. Luck and having guys show up when they need to when they get in that place, because that's happened to them too. They had guys shrink when that great group was together with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin and those guys. Guys shrunk and got hurt. Same thing with last year. Same thing with this year. Hurt or don't show up. Well, that's what it's going to take. I mean, they have enough talent on that team right now to win a championship if Kawhi Leonard plays. So if we're being honest about it, yeah, there's a very good chance the Clippers not only win the series, that they win it all if Kawhi Leonard's right.
You know what's crazy, Legs? Like, the same thing will make you laugh, make you cry. And for years, it was been Chris Paul crying because he was the guy that couldn't answer the bell. He was the guy that couldn't show up. And now everybody around him is having his fate and losing a superstar, and he's able to be healthy. And like you said, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. But, you know, I want to go back to Kawhi, knowing that he's a free agent coming up and he has opportunity. Do you anticipate that maybe he will come back because he felt like he owes the Clippers something? Or do you think it's something to the fact that he may go down to South Beach and go with another alpha male and Jimmy Buckets and maybe make another big three down there and have a run in South Beach with no state taxes?
Let me tell you something, man. You may be asking the most difficult question in all of sports, which is, read Kawhi Leonard. I mean, good luck on that. I mean, Jeff Van Gundy, Mike Breen had one of the great lines the other night when he was sitting up in the box and the Clippers were making a run and they quick flashed to him. He's just sitting there with that look on his face. And Mike Breen said, and Kawhi Leonard's going crazy right now. And it became this viral thing, because good luck with that, man. I mean, who knows? All I know is this. Kawhi Leonard made a clear decision. He wanted to not only be with the Clippers, he wanted to be in that market. He wanted to be in Los Angeles. Yeah. And he specifically hand chose Paul George to do it with him. And Paul George, we've been saying that about Paul George since his third year in the league in Indiana, that one day this guy's going to end up in L.A. We just didn't know it was going to be Lakers or Clippers. So at the time, they thought, you know, look, they already got LeBron and AD. Let's go do this thing with this other team at Staples Center. So if that's what you really wanted and that's genuinely where you're happy, at some point, do you stop chasing and hunting and you say, you know what? We got enough here. I like the organization. I like the guy I'm playing for. It seems like they all like Ty Lue. I like the guy I'm playing with. We just need to continue to tweak this roster and improve it. And just hope one of these years we got both guys healthy at the same time. But I just think at some point, do you stop being restless looking for something else? Like, at what point do you do that as a player? Because this looked like was the final resting place for Kawhi Leonard's career. So I'm going to assume he's going to be there.
Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst with us. Listen, it's so difficult to answer this question considering injury status. So let's just take it from a basketball status. If you're assuming that everybody's on the floor, that Giannis is playing tonight and that Trae Young is playing tonight, and it's best of three the rest of the way, Tim, from what you've seen, is Trae Young ready to take that team to the finals?
Yeah, I think he is ready. I don't know. He personally, I don't know that their roster is good enough yet. I mean, here's the thing. Look at the rest of those guys, and they have depth and they have young legs. But really, when you look at the other offensive components on that team, who do you know for a fact you can pencil in a certain number? Because that's what it takes. Because when you look at the Bucks, all right, Giannis, he's going to, if he's healthy, he is going to be north of 30. You can pencil it in. It doesn't mean he's going to play great. He's going to be north of 30. Chris Middleton is going to be north of 20 points. And Drew Holiday will be somewhere in there, depending on his aggressive mindset. But they got two guys. You can book it right now. On a bad night, they're getting 50. Look at the Atlanta Hawks. Do you really feel comfortable putting a number next to John Collins, Kevin Huerter, Gallinari, Lou Williams, Bogdanovich, Capella? I don't know that number. And that's why, for me, they're not quite there yet, because they need another guy that every night, on a bad night, this is what his numbers look like. And they don't really have that, because it's like night to night, you don't know where it's going to come from. And some people think, well, that means they got great balance. Yeah, they got great balance after Trae Young. But what they don't have is enough top-tier talent yet. So Trae Young's ready. He just needs another guy on that level.
All right, Porzingis, come on down. I'm just playing. Hey, Legs, I got one more because I want you to start off our poll because, you know, you inspired it, right? This is a Legs-led inspired poll. Most punchable face, Chris Paul, Patrick Beverly, or other?
Ooh! I'll go Patrick Beverly. Although I think Joe Ingles is in that category a little bit. I've actually texted that exact thing to some of my friends when they were playing the Sixers. I got all my friends are Sixers fans because I live in that area, and we're texting. They're playing Utah during the regular season, and they were just going off about Ingles. And I said, "Yeah, he does have kind of one of those faces. I can kind of see that." So he's in that category as well. But I would probably say at the top of the list right now, it's got to be. Got to be Patrick Beverly, man, because he's constantly showing you that face nonstop. It doesn't change for 48 minutes. You can't get the image out of your head.
It is kind of fascinating, Legs, to think that Beverly, in the moment, thought of himself as the victim before he shoved him.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing, man? The abuser felt abused. It's just absolutely incredible. That he reacted in that way, man. It reminds me of the line of Step Brothers, man. When Rob Riggle said, "Listen, there's just something about your face. You're gonna have to change it, or I'm gonna punch you right in the fucking face." Like, that's just what they do to you sometimes, man. You can't get that image out of your head.
Awesome stuff, Legs. We appreciate it, man. Thanks very much.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
All right, great day.
It's Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us.
All right, so the poll's up. The poll's up.
Let's go. On the Goodyear Hotline, and of course, he gave us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. That must be the most Straight Talk we've gotten from a guest ever.
Absolutely.
You know, the most. Who is the who?
Legs keeping it Rizzo.
From the guys that
you
played
know.
With.
You already know.
I got to ask the question anyway. I may know, but they don't.
Yeah.
The guys you played with who had the most punchable face.
No, played against.
Played against.
Hines Ward, most punchable face. He is the Patrick Beverly.
But is it most punchable face or is it most punchable actions that you get?
No, you wanted to punch. He got that little smile as he just tried to cut you and end your career from the back. He puts his hands up, starts smiling. Like for years, we had a bounty out on him. So Jared Johnson finally got him. Listen, I had games where I was.
How much did he get, Mr. Bounty Gate?
Listen, we had guys that were trying to get him like. We had nothing to play for. Guys was making sure they didn't go get surgeries because they wanted to make sure they got Hines Ward. I can remember about to play them, and they were going to playoffs, and we were going home. And I was like, "Where's Hines, Mike?" He's like, "Mark, can't let you have him. Like, got him down today. Nope, you're not going to mess our season up. Nope. You know, one mission: get Hines."
Yeah. Well, was there a number on it?
Yeah, undisclosed.
Undisclosed. Oh, great.
We haven't passed the statute of limitations. Yeah, we're still within the statute of limitations.
Awesome.
Listen, when he started coaching for the Jets, I almost went and got him there. Like Terry Tate.
He was an assistant wide receivers coach. You're going to go get him on the sideline when you're retired 8 years?
Hey, catch him at the water cooler. That wasn't right, Hines.
Office linebacker Terry Tate. I can see it. Knowing you and knowing how you feel about him, I can absolutely see it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Let's hit the calls at 888-SAY-ESPN. Xavier in Phoenix. Who's the most punchable, Xavier?
Grayson Allen, hands down, man. Put him in a UFC match. He's got to go.
Grayson Allen from the Duke days.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. He got a punchable face, too. He's in Memphis right now, right?
I'll tell you, what he used to pull all the time. Like, you don't have
no, as a
about
pro.
It as much. You know, I know, but you don't hear about it as much as you did because he was on that Duke stage.
Yeah.
You know? It's not a bad call there, Xavier.
I like that one. I like that. I need more, though. I need more punchable faces. And then, listen, it doesn't have to just be basketball.
Most of them, for guys like me, they're just people that you know. And they're people that annoy you.
Yeah.
And aggravate you in real life. But they can't do it physically like Pat Bev does or like other guys do.
I bet you for NFL players, Josh Norman was a guy like that, too.
Yeah. I could see that.
Maybe Steve Smith because he talked a lot of trash.
Oh, Steve Smith talked a lot. Yeah. a lot.
He had a temper. You would think that he could fight back, though. Like, yeah, Josh Norman, not so much.
Bart, up next, major, major shift in college athletics came yesterday, and it really begins today. The impact of it all. And we hear from the Yankees owner on his team just absolutely being the biggest disappointment in sports right now. That is on the way after Bart tells you about our friends from the Home Depot.
Get more out of summer with savings on innovative washers and dryers during the 4th of July Savings Day event at the Home Depot. Give your laundry a much-needed upgrade with big savings in-store and online on top appliances right now. You'll save a bundle. Celebrate summer with the 4th of July Savings Day event at the Home Depot. How doors get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more, valid through July 14th. Audio files, dry snitching, punchable faces, all that and more right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Major shift in college athletics yesterday.
Is
and it
LMA?
All starts today.
Hitting us with a little LMA today? Man, I'm telling you, man, y'all want to buy our playlist, baby. Get you right. This is part of the cool down, like when you stretch and post-workout, Chris.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I know exactly what you're saying. Pre-post-workout stretch, absolutely. This is what I got to get my mind right for the workout going in.
You know what's crazy?
And also just, you know.
You know what's crazy? I heard
relax
that.
After.
I heard that Planet Fitness, they give you bagels after you work out. What in the hell is wrong with them? They just having a country club. How you going to have pizza and bagels after you worked out? Well, you just defeated the entire purpose.
Guess what? I'm on board. 888-SAY-ESPN right now. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin for Alan Han with Bart Scott. Audio files. Let's do it. Paul Feinbaum, of course, of the Paul Feinbaum Show.
It's a good show.
The name, image, and likeness is now in effect for college athletics. So, first of all, the significance of the approval yesterday from Mr. Feinbaum. You're potentially going to see the major conferences break off eventually from it. But
right. More
than anything, the biggest thing that he had to say this morning on KJZ is that not only is that the case, but also, everybody else seemed prepared for this except for the NCAA. So, just to be clear for those who don't know, athletes in all sports now can make money off of their name, image, and likeness, and it does depend on individual states' laws as to how they can do that. But that is tricky in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It's great in a lot of ways. Because, look, the people that have so much money made off of them
right. Should
be able to make money off of their own name.
Off of themselves,
yes.
Right?
And
it's a long time coming, man.
Yeah, you can't be wearing anything from the school or have any reference to the schools or institutions.
Yeah, but for some athletes, you know, they are great college players. They'll never make money or even last in the NFL. And, you know, they should be able to take advantage of that, have money to kind of start off life as their NFL or football, college career or, you know, comes to an end. They need to be able to have some money to be able to. How much money would Reggie Bush be worth today?
First of all,
how much money would Johnny Manziel?
Somebody should be driving up with Reggie Bush's Heisman right now.
Exactly. Look at Johnny Manziel. Well, how much money would Johnny Manziel had made if he would have been able to take advantage of that plan in that market with how much money's in Texas and being able to play when he's competing with the big boys? How much would Tim Tebow be worth, right?
There are a few things here that I do worry about, okay? I worry about the locker room. I worry about guys who are going to be able to get a lot of money versus guys who can't. And that's true. You absolutely always have that. You also have the notion of student athletes as influencers here, okay? Let's not lose sight of the fact that you get the opportunity to get a bigger platform by going to the school and by getting the education as well. So let's not start picking where we're going to go to school based off of where I'm going to make the most money on a name, image, and likeness situation.
Well, but that, you know, in Miami and Florida was one that was forced to the yard, and we thought that that would be a recruiting advantage, and it should be because it forces the other legislators who I'm sure all love football to be able to come up and say, you know what, we need to make sure that we put something in place to make our state and our university as attractive so we can compete. Yep. So force the adults to make something so that they can compete. But at the end of the day, the athlete is who benefits.
Right, and I have no problem with that. And you're right, for the guys who are not going to be professional. But that's what you need to remember when you're evaluating that as a student athlete. Yeah. You have to have a proper mentality about who's going to go pro and who's not, and a self-awareness.
And we that's tough.
No, it is tough. But, Bart, just to give you an example, being around college basketball a lot, it doesn't matter how good or how bad the team is. Every player that is on every team, and at least in a Power 5 and certainly across Division I, believes that in one way or another, they're playing professional basketball, be it here or overseas.
Yep.
And there is about 25% that actually make money doing that overseas somewhere, and usually it's not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this a lot in basketball, right? And that's why they kind of changed the rule because guys were coming out getting bad advice. But listen, that's the 10 to 20% that you're going to lose, right? And that's the risk you take, and understand that no rule is perfect. But I'd rather a rule be imperfect and players are able to benefit and change their lives and be able to sell their jerseys, be able to have autograph signings. I mean, if I went to a D1AA, but I was a man in my D1AA, I could have been, you know, sponsored by Pinchpenny. You know what I mean? Or doing the local furniture company. It's money there everywhere. Sure. If you're a good player, it's going to be some business that can benefit off your likeness.
Last one. I worry about the grifters and the agents that are going to be lined up and getting involved in this.
They're there anyway.
I know they're there anyway, but now they're going to be everywhere. They're going to be all over the college soccer player who happens to have 50,000 followers on Instagram.
Well, and also, right, just imagine how many of these athletes have tremendous, you know, Instagram pages, social media. Like, they teach social media. And if you got over 100,000 followers, you can make upwards of six, you know, figures a year. I mean, so you go to school to make money. And if you can learn how to make money off your name, likeness, and your popularity, be it if you hit the big shot in a tournament or if you have a great game and you upset a Power 5 conference, you have like Appalachian State beat Michigan, and that kid Twitter handle goes up or Instagram goes up 100,000, and he can benefit off of that, and it's something he can sustain for the rest of his life, man, this is what America's all about.
I don't disagree with any of it. I think it's a good thing. I'm just worried about the pitfalls.
Death to the NCAA.
But the pitfalls that do come with this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This could go one of two ways, and it could go horribly wrong, too. Yeah. Let's not lose sight of that. Speaking of horribly wrong, the New York Yankees. Things have gone horribly wrong for the Yankees. So, Hal Steinbrenner, owner of the team, who is responsible?
So, you have a team meeting. First of all, those are the worst meetings ever, right? Because you have guys in there just pointing a finger at each other. And people saying, what about you? What about you? We got to do this. We got to do this. And then, so you had a team-only meeting about the importance of making sure that you can turn this thing around, and your best player says, I'm not playing the next day. What the hell are you talking about? And always be careful when the owner says, hey, it's my fault. It's like when your parents come in there and you got kicked out of school. You know what? It's my fault. Because I allowed you to be like that.
Yeah.
I put that in your brain. If you can go to school and you can act an ass and do what the hell you want to do, you know what? I'll be right back. It's my bet. That's how you know the belt's coming in. That's how I knew the belt's coming in.
That was pretty pointed, though, toward the players. Ultimately, they're the ones responsible. Yeah, that was pretty pointed.
But at first he said it's my fault, right? But then he put it on the players.
No, but then it's like, no, but it's them. And look, if you're shelling out $205 million, you're damn right it's their fault. Start playing better.
I'm just waiting for that open letter. We watched the range. I'm waiting for that open letter about we got to do this a different
way. Keep waiting. I don't think that open letter is coming anytime soon.
Well, get swept by the Mets and see. I bet you that letter come out handwritten, fountain pen.
As we get closer, as I said this before, you will find out about what they're going to do right after the All-Star break when 8 of their first 10 come against the Red Sox. If they are in double figures, line up. It's time to auction everybody off. Everything must go. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your small business. That's a big deal. Cover what you have worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Up next, major injury news regarding tonight's Eastern Conference Finals Game 5. We have got it for you in moments on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
You've been very, very happy with the musical choices of this show lately.
I'm telling you, man. Listen, we need to start making the playlist, man. We can get some money on the side. Do we have to share a cut with ESPN, or do we get to just...
I think it's a name, image, and likeness thing. I'm not sure about that.
Do they own our image and likeness exclusively?
Actually, I kind of think they might. You might want to check that in your contract. It is Bart and Hahn. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott. Brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Yes, Bart, it is official. Officially, he was doubtful, and now he is out. No Giannis tonight in Game 5 for the Bucks. Meanwhile, Trae Young, hopeful that he can go.
Trigger. You know what? I think, listen, I don't know if you can go to the well too often and say, hey, let's see, no Giannis, we should be able to win this one. It's hard to win in Milwaukee. You know, that crowd is crazy. And maybe they find a different way of playing small and they can kind of keep up with this, with the small, you know, Capella not playing. So I think if you're the Bucks, you can't go with Giannis. But if I can sneak another game out without Trae Young, because I think Lou Williams can maybe put it a back-to-back type of performance, because he's a guy that you would say, well, he's a veteran, so it shouldn't matter if he's on the road or not. If he can play, he can play.
You trust it tonight in Milwaukee and then going home for a Game 6 to hopefully – if you think you're going to have Trae Young back for that game.
To close it out, right?
You trust – No. I'm saying, like, if you can find your way through tonight, but even if you can't,
right,
you trust your ability to win Game 6 enough.
Right, to have Trae Young there and then go to a Game 7. So at some point, rather you know, you're going to have to win in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
you're going to have to win one.
And I think that to ask them to win tonight without Trae, but without Giannis in Milwaukee, that might be asking too much.
Well, the thing is, who's going to get these open shots for Middleton? Because Middleton has benefited from being able to get the dribble penetration from Giannis and getting the ball for catches and shoot. But now who's going to be that guy that's going to break down the defense to be able to give Chris Middleton those types of shots?
Well, Drew Holiday has to do a lot offensively tonight.
Yeah.
He has to do a lot offensively tonight. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and it's not like when you look at Atlanta, they have some perimeter stopper, there's some wing stopper. They got good guys, they play good team defense, but you don't see, oh, they got a lockdown P.J. Tucker. They ain't got that defender that's known for being that defensive stopper.
The question from earlier in the show, who has the most punchable face? Anthony in Orlando, next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Anthony, who is it?
For me, lifelong New Yorker is going to be Reggie Miller, Curt Schilling, and a throwback, A.J. Dewey. Hated that guy.
A.J. Dewey from the 81 Jets loss to the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game. My God, that is going back.
Good one. I guess Reggie would be like if you could just have like one of those. Remember those little punter bags that you used to hit and they pop back up?
Yeah.
Like all the time, if you could put Reggie Miller face like doing the choke sign where you can just keep uppercutting it, Spike would probably buy all your inventory.
The problem is when I hit that thing, it comes back up and knocks me out. How about, let's see, Yo-Yo in Florida. Yo-Yo, what's up? Who's got the punchable face?
How you doing, guys?
Yo.
What's up, Chris? What's up, Bart? Listen, the most punchable face on the planet is by far Alex Ovechkin.
What did Ovi do? Yeah, Ovi is an agitator, man.
There's no doubt. David in Georgia. David, who do you want a shot at?
Oh, man. If someone would please take a shot at Jay Cutler.
Yeah. We are not advocating violence by any stretch. We are just asking about the facial features and what they look like and how they act. Jay Cutler, I tell you what, he was a lot more active in reality TV than he was in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of those punchable faces where somebody wants to be, you know, punchable face if he, you know, gets his way up.
I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is.
He has one of those sarcastic type of faces.
NBA Eastern Conference Finals tonight, Game 5, Bucks Hawks, right here on ESPN Radio, presented by Indeed. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.